I am usually privileged to be speaking to the teens. Enjoy that so much, and they're so precious to me. As we're preparing today, you saw a whole bunch of people leave. That's because we're going to present a mini drama thing for you this morning. And they're out in the Welcome Center. They were getting dressed and getting ready, and they're going to go out to the Welcome Center, and they're going to listen as well. So they're still a part of this with you. They're just out there. Today I want to speak to you about the central, most controversial individual that ever lived. He has brought more conflict, more controversy, more martyrdom, more confusion than any other figure in history. And people die for his cause every day. He's also brought more peace, more love, and forgiveness than anyone else in history, as he showed the entire world what the meaning of the word sacrifice is. His name is loved, it's revered, it's whispered in awe, it's sang, it's spoken, it's prayed. His name brings comfort and peace and healing. His name causes anger and strife and fear and offense. His name causes war. It costs lives, even as it brings peace and gives life. Who am I speaking of? You know who I'm speaking of. Say it with me. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to read to you from John 1, 1 through 5 today, and most of you could quote it with me. Most of you could quote it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Lord, bless as we bring your Son to the absolute forefront of our minds today. Lord, let us in our infinite and in our finite and flawed humanness bring forth the infinite, perfect, unmatchless Son of God. There's nothing to compare to him. There is nothing like him. Jesus, words fail because there is not a word that we can utter that begins to match who you are. You're amazing. Please have your way here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ. Who is this amazing God, man, Messiah who can have people fighting and loving, screaming and hugging all at the same time? All at the same time. Who is he that people give their lives for him every day? Not so much in our country. We have it pretty easy. We have it pretty easy. None of us were assaulted this morning on our way into the sanctuary. None of us had a gun put to our head and said, if you don't renounce Jesus Christ, you're dead. None of us had our little girl or our little boy grabbed up and a machine gun stuck to them and said, renounce your faith this morning. We have it pretty easy, even though we are oppressed, even though we are seemingly outnumbered in our country right now. By the way, we're not. The word says that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. Amen? We have it pretty easy, though, when it comes to the controversial side of Jesus Christ. In other countries, in communist countries, in lots of different countries in the world, Muslim countries, you don't dare utter the name of Jesus Christ or you're in more than trouble. you may be in danger of your life. I pray our country doesn't reach that place. So when I say he brings controversy and war and death, that happens when people stand for his name. That happens when they stand against a corrupt and a godless government. But they do it because they know who he is. They know who he is. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Let's start at the top. He is God. He is God. He is part of the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent Godhead Trinity. That's a mouthful. When I wrote it out, I wondered if I'd be able to say it without stumbling. That's a mouthful. Simply said, let's just break that down. He's part of the Trinity, the three in one, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He's everywhere. He is God the Son. One-third of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity seems to be one of those confusing things for people to get a hold of. How can you be God and be Jesus and be the Holy Spirit and all be a part of each other and all be one but three different? And how? I'm going to show you how this morning. I'm going to show you easy, okay? This is water, H2O, right? This one is in liquid, and I need some of it. Water, liquid. Now, if I go back to the conference room, stick this in the freezer, and come back tomorrow, guess what it's going to be? Ice. But is it still going to be H2O? Yeah. Yes. And then if I take this and I pour it in a pan and I stick it on the stove and I turn it on high and leave it for about 10 minutes, there's going to be this steam rising up off of it. Right? And if you catch some of that steam, if you ever passed your hand through steam and it comes out what? Wet. That steam is still what? H2O. So there you have it. You have water in liquid, out of the freezer in solid, coming up off of the boiling pot in steam. Three forms, all H2O. The Trinity. Three forms. All God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three forms, all the same God. Jesus Christ is God. He is part of God, the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity. Throughout the Bible, we see the plain evidence of the three-part God. I've just got one scripture here, but there are several that talks about who he is. And you see the Bible referring to the Trinity as they, us, we, a group, plural. Do you know your English teachers? Got English teachers in here? Any English teachers? We know what plural means, right? More than one. Yeah, so look here. Right in Genesis, right off the top. Then God said, let... All right, stop right there. Is that plural? Give me an English lesson. Is that David sitting back there? Yep. Is that plural? Yes. Let us make man in whose? Is that plural? Our. In our likeness. Who is us, our, and our in the first chapter of Genesis? Who is that? It's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Plural. Trinity. The Holy Trinity. Jesus Christ is a part of the Holy Trinity. He is God the Son. Let me show you the second thing he is. The second thing he is man. He is man, the God-man, the Son of Man, human God. My mind is just, how, I don't know how. It is. It is. God became flesh, became a man, became like me. Oh my. Let me read to you from Philippians. Speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2. He is God. He is man. He is God-man. He is human God. He is man. It just absolutely boggles my mind that he would choose to do that. He chose to do that. In Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He chose to come here. He chose to be human and experience what we experience. Okay, we're doing a small drama for you later to help you see exactly who Jesus Christ is. And we needed my truck yesterday. I needed my pickup truck, okay? And Eric was hauling brush down to the pile, and he got it hauled, and he got back in the truck, and what he got was click, 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 click. Uh-oh. Click, 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 click. They jumped and jumped with two or three different vehicles, thought it was a side post on one. He worked. He click, 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 click. He came to the house. He just stood there and looked at me for a minute. I said, what's wrong? Because I was in the house. He was out. He said, the truck won't start. I said, did you jump? He said, it won't jump. I said, Eric, I have to have the truck. He said, I know. At that point, I was hoping he could be some God and make it start, but it didn't happen. My husband's human, okay? I needed the truck. I was stressed out, stressed me out. I confess it stressed me out. I said, I need the truck. I began to pace. I got to have the truck. I've got to haul stuff to the church. We're going to do this thing tonight. We're going to practice. We got to do it tomorrow. I got to have the truck. What am I going to do? I got to have the truck. Because I'm human. And I forget that God is there as an ever-present help in time of need. Ever-present help in time of need. One phone call and I had a truck. Driving it up my driveway, backing it under my horse trailer. One phone call. See, why do I stress like that? Because I'm human. Jesus chose to walk into our humanness, understand our stress and our frustration. And that's just a little thing. Some of you guys are facing big things in your life. And Jesus Christ came in the flesh so he could understand where you are. He came in the flesh. And he's not a high priest who can't sympathize. He's very sympathetic because he understands our weaknesses. He understands our temptation. Because he was man. He wasn't just God. He was also man. He was also man. He was a man. Just like you, Stephen. Just like me, mankind. Human. Just like you. And he understands. He understands. But he was without sin. Now I just want to go sit down on the front pew and say, Lord, I don't have any business standing up here. I'm talking about the sinless, flawless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God. I'm flawed. I was born into sin. I was born already tainted. So were you. I was born that way. Many of you have heard my testimony about when I was saved. I was 6 years old. I knew three things. Our dear pastor, Brother Winfred Caudill at Horse Creek. I grew up at Horse Creek for most of those early years. Our dear pastor spoke so simply from the pulpit that I knew as a six-year-old three things. Okay? I knew as a sinner. Wasn't sure exactly what I had done at 6 years old, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I knew that if I didn't get saved, accept Him as my Savior, I'd go to hell, and I didn't want that. I wanted to go to heaven to be with Him. And as a six-year-old on a Sunday night, and I can see it. I can see it. Because as a six-year-old, it impacted my life so greatly. I stepped out of a pew and went to an altar, and our pastor's wife, dear Nola, came and prayed with me. She's gone on to glory in the last year or so. She just recently died at 92. Was she 92, Mom? I see her sweet face as she said to me, "Honey, can I pray with you?" And I accepted Christ as my Savior as a six-year-old. I had not cussed. I had not been drunk. I had not had adultery. I had not done anything. Except maybe sass my mama. I don't know. You have to ask her. I can't hardly remember when I was 6 years old, but I remember that night. Because as a flawed human, I knew I needed a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ came. To be our Savior. To be that for us. To be without sin so He could be the perfect Lamb of sacrifice. To be without sin so that He could claim the title Redeemer. To be without sin so that He could become salvation for us. He is man. He is man. And He is God. Do y'all know that the name Jesus is actually, I learned this studying, actually the Greek translation of the Hebrew name. We say it Joshua. You'll recognize it better if I say it like they say it in Hebrew, and that would be Yeshua. Joshua, Jesus mean the same thing. It's the same name in two different languages. Yeshua, Jesus. The name means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. That's why He is a man. So He could bring salvation. He is our Savior, our salvation. The faultless, blameless, sinless, innocent, perfect man. I'm reading this devotional. It's one of those devotionals that you look at Lifeway or somewhere and you like the pretty pictures. You can sell me a book with the pictures in a heartbeat. And I flipped through this one. It's a devotional. It's a daily devotional. I flipped through it and I bought it for Michaela for Christmas, and she's yet to have it in her hands because I've had it in mine ever since Christmas. And so I'm looking through. It's got a bunch of pictures from the Hubble. Just beautiful, beautiful space pictures. And pictures that show the beauty of God's creation. And I ran across this poem, Christ the Strong. Now we're talking about our humanness and our flawedness and our sin. And I ran across this poem, Christ the Strong. And you're going to have to plug into this. It's deep. This is deep stuff right here. They spit upon His meekness and struck Him in the face. Their floggers swung with hatred. They stripped Him in disgrace. Deep worked the Roman anger that tortured Him, a Jew. Yet this His contemplation, they know not what they do. His people cheered Hosanna. They had Him crucified. They freed corrupt Barabbas. to sentence him, they lied. He hung outside their city where leaders mocked him too. Yet this, the hurt he carried, I would have gathered you. No angels came to help him when heaven on him fell. The devil tried to reach him through every lie in hell. Unthinkable the anguish as father crushed the son. Yet this his firm conviction. Thy will, not mine, be done. No selfishness, no hatred, no spitefulness was there. No unbelief, no cursing, no pity from despair. One sinful thought, one failure, and love would not succeed. The ransomed souls of history must his perfection plead. If he had faltered even once, in flames of hell would men abide. Now ponder Christ and praise at length the strength of him there crucified. Jesus Christ, my Jesus, your Jesus, if we want him, if we acknowledge him, if we allow him to be our salvation, to be our Savior, we must accept another part of him. And that is Messiah. Part of the problem for the Jews when Jesus came was that he did not come like they thought he would. They thought he would come as a conquering Messiah, a king, a ruler, a leader, a general, a type of Messiah who would free them from their cursed Roman oppressors, cause them to be totally on top of the world and their enemies. They did not want a dying Messiah. And often we don't either. We reject him as well for many reasons. We reject him because we're afraid of what he will ask of us. We're afraid of the commitment. We're afraid of losing control. We're afraid of giving up things. We also reject Jesus Messiah because we don't want anyone to tell us what to do. Church, the King of all kings is in our midst today. And not only do we refuse to listen, we ignore his voice like he's not here. We would treat Prince William and Princess Kate better if they came into our congregation this morning than we treat the King of all kings, and he's here. He's the Messiah of the universe. He is not to be ignored. He is not to be treated casually. You know, I walk into church this morning and I say, "Hey, Stephen, how you doing? Hey, Jerry." And we go on and do our thing. You don't walk in and say, "Hey, Jesus, how you doing?" You get up knowing, "Hey, Lord, how are you?" And you roll on. No, that's casual. That's not fit for a king. He's a king. And I'm guilty too, you all. Sometimes I treat him casually as well. I've been so convicted about this while I've been studying for this message. To not treat the King of Kings in a casual, "Hey, how you doing?" kind of a manner. I ought not to do that. He's the Messiah. In preparing this message, I knew a long time ago that I would be speaking about Jesus Christ. I don't know, you pastors, I see several of you guys, and you guys intimidate me a little bit. I love you, brothers, but you intimidate. I don't know if Brother Savine's back there, Brother Hicks, Pastor Stephen. You guys intimidate me because we stand before one another and we try to give our best. But you know how it is when you know you're going to preach and you know what you're going to preach on right then. Bam, you got it. All right, I know. It's like the Holy Spirit just goes, "This is it." And I knew I would be preaching about Jesus Christ. And as I thought about him, I remembered a song from a few years back that takes us through every book of the Bible and tells us who Jesus Christ is in each book. So we decided to bring this to life for you today through drama. Now, there are a few things you need to watch for, and I'm going to let Casey and some of you guys come on. Casey, can you hear me? Casey's got some work to do out here to get us prepared. I'm not sure where she is, but she's somewhere, so she'll be here in a minute. Here's a few things I need you to watch for. This moves very fast, as you can imagine, through every book of the Bible. And as a general rule, it moves from scene to scene like you would read, left, center, right, left, center, right. Okay? So that you can follow it. You need to watch for the narrators. They're in black. They're in black, and they will help point you to where the scene is. There's other movement that takes place as people come and go on the stage. Watch for where the scene is. The spotlight will also help you. It is our prayer that as you watch this drama, you will see who Jesus Christ really is, and that you will not turn him away. You will not ignore his voice. You will not treat him casually or reject him in any way. It is our prayer that you will understand that he is. Hallelujah. 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 That's who he is, church. That's who he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, drama people. Thank you. That's who he is. Do you see who he is?